The United Kingdom election 2017. We look at some issues arising. At times, events fall out in such a way that they can be seen to embody a message for mankind. It was so in the days of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had his supernatural dream. It was about a mighty tree to be cut down right to the stump. The dream closed with the words, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Words from Daniel 4:17. Notice that purpose, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. These words have a timeless message. We apply them first to political comment. Elections produce a great deal of opinion and comment, but there is a difference between the facts and knowing the facts. This dream and its fulfillment was to the intent that the living may know the truth that God is in control. By God's providence, his sovereign decree is carried into effect. Expert analysis these days is concerned with secondary causes and does not penetrate to the determining cause of events. Our analysis today are like those of ancient Nebuchadnezzar, who could not get to the root of the matter. All the wise men of Nebuchadnezzar were not able to make known the interpretation of the dream. So Daniel 4:18, we find the king saying, "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the Spirit of the holy gods is in thee." We do not claim that all analysis of secondary causes is useless, but we do maintain that the most important consideration is that God has acted, and we need to lay to heart what he has done and how we are to react. God at work. In every generation, God is at work by his providence in the government of nations, determining who will have power. Though millions of voters participate at the ballot box, God's sovereign will determines the outcome. A general election is a time of change. Some politicians lose their seats, and other candidates take their place. It all depends how the votes are cast. The Bible goes further in its analysis. Proverbs 16:33 tells us, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." Few bring God into elections these days. It's all about persuading the voters. A fortune is spent on it, but each man's heart is acted upon by God. What seems the ultimate example of a chance happening, the aggregate of thousands of individual votes, is in fact the hand of God. This truth caused politicians and electorate to reflect upon what has happened. What significance is to be attached to things as they now stand? The need for humility in rulers. Before any jump to condemn God as many do on the basis of half-truths, let us remember that God's afflicting Nebuchadnezzar with this known disease, where a man thinks himself an animal, was an act of compassion. It had a remedial intent for Nebuchadnezzar's rectification in his imperial government. And he himself was to acknowledge this eventually. Look at Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34 and following. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth for ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? Unwelcome events put us on a learning curve. 2,000 years ago, the Savior put the record straight to woo sinners from self-confidence and self-dependence. Matthew in chapter 6 and verse 25. The Savior says, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Even the smallest details of life are in the hand of God. Mysterious indeed that Nebuchadnezzar was to learn that it applies to kings and kingdoms, and that it is becoming to reject arrogant self-confidence and walk humbly even in the affairs of state. What about hard chestnuts? There are three pressing issues for the United Kingdom which did not trouble Nebuchadnezzar, namely home security, public finance, and international trade. At the time of his dream, and for a year afterwards, Nebuchadnezzar was very comfortable. He could say, as we read in Daniel 4:30, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might, by the might of my power, and for the honour of my majesty? He was safe from terrorists, wallowed in wealth, and enjoyed the produce of many kingdoms. Despite all the undoubted benefits that the United Kingdom enjoys, our government faces the challenges of terrorism at home, strain on public expenditure, and debt because of mounting social expectations, and Brexit negotiations. We are in great need of social consensus on these matters, but it does not exist at present. And what about religious toleration? We observe that Daniel, with his comprehensive commitment to biblical faith and practice, was still in public office. By this time, Nebuchadnezzar had come to a better understanding of tolerance, than when he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. Indeed, Nebuchadnezzar had been deeply impressed with the faithfulness of these Jews to their God, and confessed it by saying, as we have in Daniel 3 and 28, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." All rulers are on a learning curve, and one might expect that our conservative government, having now lost its majority and finding itself dependent for governing on the DUP, a party founded on Christian principles, would see the hypocrisy of not reviewing legislative provisions for people of conscience. We have witnessed grave injustices with respect to Christian conscience in business, the public sector, universities, and in the public square in the case of open-air preaching. It would be a shameful thing if a contemporary British government were to lag behind a pagan despot in such basic toleration, pretending that conscientious action is some form of prejudice or hatred. And what about eschatological urgency? While politicians pursue objectives dictated by the expectations of their constituents, the divine clock is still ticking according to the divine timetable. The judgment on the great Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold, Daniel 2:37-38, is a reminder to all that judgment is always coming. There is a seriousness to this message for kings and all that are in authority. Rulers often oppose Christ, as did Caiaphas, Herod, and Pilate. But the question of Psalm 2 remains relevant. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The exhortation at the end of the Psalm 2 points to what is any ruler's true wisdom. "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." What about Christian duties? The election is over. Things have changed. But what are believers to do? The example of Daniel suggests three important Christian duties. First of all, we see that Daniel stood fast. In verses 19 to 22 we read, "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and is strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O King, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Daniel stood fast. We might expect the new moral agenda to rumble on, as long as our present Prime Minister continues. She sees it as a crusade for justice and fairness, and knows not that God is against it, and the oppression of Christian believers' consciences. Believers must stand fast. Paul often exhorts to this, as in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Daniel stood fast. Daniel was faithful. Daniel was ready to give an unpopular answer, to faithfully interpret God's revelation to the king. He went on, as we read, in Daniel 4 and verse 23. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. And this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. His initial hesitation, mentioned there in Daniel 4:19, resulted from the severity of the message. But he was still prepared to deliver it, but not in anger or callousness. He seeks to prepare Nebuchadnezzar for the bad news. But to all this, Daniel added compassionate counsel. It is observable how respectful Daniel was, even under these circumstances of oncoming humiliation. Nebuchadnezzar was still the ruler, and entitled to that submission of which Paul speaks in Romans in chapter 13. There he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Doubtless politics is important, and new laws are more and more impacting upon the faith and practice of Christians. We should keep informed, pray, and write to our MPs with discretion. But above all, what a thing it is to be straight about eternal things. What an exhortation Daniel pours out from his loving heart. He says to Nebuchadnezzar, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. how these words must have come back to Nebuchadnezzar. Would he not think, what a fool I have been. Why did I not listen to Daniel? Let us then have a word in season like Daniel also.